Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. There was a significant increase in test-confirmed COVID-19 cases in Alaska yesterday. A release from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services lists 17 new cases, including 11 in Anchorage, 2 in the Fairbanks North Pole area, 3 in Ketchikan, and 1 in Homer. It says 2 of the diagnosed individuals are hospitalized and that the cases all remain under investigation, adding that 2 are travel-related and 3 are close contacts with previously diagnosed individuals. The additional cases bring the overall number confirmed in Alaska to 59. One of the new Fairbanks area cases is a service member stationed at Eielson Air Force Base. An Eielson news release issued yesterday says an airman with the 354th Fighter Wing tested positive for the COVID-19 virus earlier in the day. It says the airman had recently traveled outside, but base officials believe there's been minimal contact with others due to an installation policy requiring quarantine upon return from outside travel. The release says the airman is being cared for by Eielson medical personnel and will remain in isolation in a personal residence for the duration of quarantine. It's the first confirmed case of novel coronavirus at Eielson. Meanwhile, one of the other recent Fairbanks area cases is a healthcare worker. Speaking during a daily incident management team video conference, Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation Executive Director and General Counsel Shelley Ebenall said the individual isolated at home after experiencing symptoms March 20th, followed by a positive test result Monday. She says the case is being investigated.
Initial reports indicate the contact this employee had with others is deemed low risk. The last known contact with FMH facility was Friday.
Ebenall said the hospital and the state were identifying and contacting anyone who may have had contact with the worker, and FHP issued a press release late last night saying a second worker who had contact with the first also tested positive and is self-isolated. Ebenall credits a hospital initiative with helping to screen workers for possible illness.
Foundation Health Partners instituted a mandatory temperature monitoring for all employees last week, sending all employees with fevers home. All employees returning from travel are required to call occupational health to determine the risk factors.
Hospital officials say staff contracting the virus was anticipated, and the potential of more getting sick is a concern.
It is why we've been approaching it very aggressively.
Foundation Health Partners Quality Medical Director Dr. Angelique Ramirez said staff getting sick has the potential of affecting patient care.
We recognize that we have limited resources in Fairbanks. We are at the end of the road.
Dr. Ramirez said Fairbanks and Alaska in general have the advantage of drawing on the experiences of other communities and hospitals, and because of that have been taking a very aggressive and proactive approach, including limiting access to facilities and careful use of personal protective equipment like masks.
We've locked down the house, quote unquote, meaning that we have limited entrances to the hospital. We've limited visitor access. All that is to protect our patients and to protect our healthcare workers. We've also implemented a PPE conservation program, so that we have very, very thoughtful use of how we use our PPEs.
Foundation Health Partners Board President Jeff Cook commended the medical and broader community with coming together in response to the COVID-19 threat.
We are very well prepared, as well as any community can be, and we're no different as far as supplies and things we'd like to have more of, whether they're test kits or respirators, than any of the rest of the country.
Cook noted that the hospital is benefiting from donations, including of medical masks and gowns. Regional air carriers in Alaska are starting to feel the pressure from coronavirus restrictions and reduced demand. Alaska Public Media reports that Alaska's largest regional carrier, Raven Air, recently announced it's temporarily cutting 146 positions out of about 1,300 due to a dramatic reduction in passenger bookings. The coronavirus situation is also causing pain for other carriers like Fairbanks-based Warbelows. Warbelows Safety Director Matt Atkinson says it's cut into what's normally a peak tourism season.
All tour charters have been canceled. You know, this time of year is typically fairly robust, because March is kind of a peak season for aurora viewing, and particularly among international travelers. So those have gone away.
Much of Warbelow's business involves essential services like delivering fuel and mail and doing medical evacuations, and most villages in Warbelow's service area haven't instituted major restrictions, giving Atkinson hope the company won't be forced to make layoffs.
flights are consolidated, meaning say if it went to, you know, from 5 days a week to 3 days a week or something like that, then there would be less work, but still we would want to keep the team in place.
Flight service companies have been working with the Alaska Air Carriers Association to secure a portion of the $50 billion in proposed federal stimulus funding. Meanwhile, the Regional Airlines Association has been pushing for the money to be in the form of direct employer grants, which it says are essential to keep air service going in the approximately 60 communities that are subsidized by the Federal Essential Air Service Program. A fire destroyed a home in the city of Fairbanks early yesterday. According to a city press release, firefighters responded to a house on 8th Avenue before 2 a.m. Wednesday after neighbors reported the fire. It says the home was boarded up and appeared to be vacant, but there were reports that squatters had been using it, and some evidence suggests the blaze may have been intentionally set. It's the latest of a few cases of suspected arson involving abandoned structures in the city and is being investigated. According to the city, one firefighter suffered a minor injury in the response and was treated at the hospital. It took 3 hours for city firefighters, aided by two other departments, to extinguish the flames, which fully engulfed the structure. The Alaska Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday in an appeal filed by the State Division of Elections of a Superior Court decision that allowed the campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy to begin gathering signatures required to hold a recall election. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that the justices expressed some skepticism about arguments made by both sides. Assistant Attorney General Margaret Payton Walsh argued that the recall committee didn't meet the grounds for recall under state law. She said if Governor Dunleavy could be recalled for failing to appoint a judge within the required 45 days, then any governor could be recalled for violating any law. Justice Craig Stowers pushed back.
Governor can be subject to recall every time anybody thinks that he's violated a law.
But that's not what we're talking about, really. We're talking specifically about the statutory requirement to appoint a judge within 45 days, which has been subject to some investigation and controversy.
Former Attorney General Jana Lindemuth argued the case for recall Dunleavy, noting that many thousands of people must sign both the recall application and the petition to have an election.
Already a difficult process, and this administration seeks to make it an impossible task by adding artificial technical hurdles that this court warns should not be imposed by the judiciary. If this administration wants to change how recall is conducted in Alaska to make it more protective of officials, it can seek a legislative change.
It's not clear how quickly the court will rule. I'm Dan Bross.